we've got to start talking about mental health. It can get better. Log on to walkinmyshoes.ie to find out more. For World Mental Health Week, this is Walk In My Shoes Radio, broadcasting live from St. Patrick's Mental Health Services, Dublin 8.
I've been hearing symphonies. Before all I heard was silence. A rhapsody for you and me. And every melody is timeless. Life was stringing me along. Then you came and you cut me loose. Was solo singing on my own. Now I can't find the key without you. And now your song is on repeat. And I'm dancing on to your heartbeat. And when you're gone,
don't let go. Well, get in touch with us on Twitter at Walk In My Shoes using the hashtag WhimsFM. We are here. Ireland's only pop-up radio station is back again. This is Walk In My Shoes Radio, promoting positive mental health on walkinmyshoes.ie, which we've been trying to do so far this week. Everyone has been involved and it continues till Friday. And what an incredible station we've got. You can tune in to 105.2 FM, 106.7, 105.5 and 87.7 FM if you're trying to find us on the radio system out there. And I want to say massive thanks to the wonderful team in here who are keeping us alive. Yay! With coffee and croissants and technical ability. Nathan, Adam, Kian, Rachel, Priscilla, thank you so much for coming in and helping two Madsers like Karina and myself, Rebecca Warren. So we are taking another guest after that song, and we have an absolute lady on the phone. And I think lady isn't associated with Karina and I very often. Sorry, Karina, but it isn't. But we have stylist extraordinaire Cathy O'Connor, who's up bright and early
good
to talk
morning,
to us. How
Cathy.
Are you?
Very good, very good. Thanks. I won't be cursing then, obviously.
No, well, Karina has a few times. We've already been taken off air a few times, Cathy, but you're grand. Knock yourself out. Do whatever you want to do. you are a little joy. We've had a few rays of sunshine, but it is always good to speak to you, Kathy. How are you?
Thanks, love. Doing great. Great, thanks altogether. Well done to you. It's just been amazing, just the output that you've all been doing. Just really super. So well done to you all.
It is. What they do is brilliant. And every year I'm kind of like, how are they going to top it? And every year they top it. And every year they have so many people that want to be on, which is great, and great teams. So no, they're doing great work. Us too. You can't really say much about us. We turn up and eat croissants and go home, Kathy, but thanks.
And abuse people
live on air.
But we've been nice to you, darling.
Oh, thank you.
You're up and about, and we've gotten to you a bit earlier than planned, but how do you start your day in a positive way? You are someone that I meet who's just like, she's kind of like a beacon of light. Kathy's very calm, but how do you do that?
You're so lovely. Do you know, I think it is really about sort of discipline and valuing your own mental health. And I think one of the great things about the beginning of any day is that you've got the opportunity to press the reset button. So whatever crap was going on the day before, whatever stuff you were kind of, you know, occupying your mind, you're a little bit concerned about, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to wake up and get avalanched by that. And how I kind of, you know, do it is that first thing in the morning, I get up, brush my teeth, and I'm out the door. So, and I go for a walk. You know, how far you go, where you go doesn't matter. But what matters is the mental state that you're in when you're doing it. So it's not an opportunity necessarily to go and take your thoughts with you. It's actually an opportunity to go out and catch a break before whatever is going on in your life gets kind of on top of you. And I find the way to do it is actually to kind of be present. And how when I do that is that I do it in a sensory way. So I see, you know, I really kind of look at things that are around me. I kind of feel, what's the temperature like? Can I hear my breathing? You know, is there a taste in my mouth? How am I feeling? You know, certainly internally, but so I do it through my senses, just in terms of, you know, smell, sight, hearing, all of that kind of stuff. And it's just a great way of, as I say, before stuff that was bothering you the day before gets a chance to kind of avalanche you. And you know, sometimes before you even get out of the bed, you're kind of floored.
Yeah. But it's back to what Katie Richardson was saying about mindfulness. What you're saying is like to be actually mindful, not take all the rubbish that really bombarded you the day before, Kathy, and kind of waking up with fresh eyes. And that's not always easy for everyone, but that's what it's the best way to get through the day is by doing that.
Well, absolutely, because it just means that kind of momentum doesn't start, that you kind of just, you get a little bit more stabilized, a little bit more more connected with yourself, and a little bit more able before the day starts. And also, I think it's the value that we put in ourselves, that, you know, we are not our thoughts, we think them, and if we stop fueling them, they stop.
Mm. So it's almost kind of trying to create the perfect balance between switching off and being in the moment, isn't it?
Well, we say, and you have to be real about these things. You know what I mean? Well, whatever is upsetting you is upsetting you. But it's just to get a little bit of sort of distance before you feel that sense of being overwhelmed. And any opportunity, Karina, you're so right, that you can put yourself in the moment. And I think sometimes these kind of, you know, those concepts of like being in the moment can just be a bit like, what the hell are you talking about? And I think it really is, you know, through your senses. It's just about observing. It's not necessarily looking at things, but, you know, the color of the traffic lights, there's someone wearing something, and it's just that kind of the softness in your eyes, just that kind of, it's like disconnected sort of observation, as opposed to, God, I'm intensely looking at things. It's just,
just thinking outside the box, almost, isn't it?
Well, exactly, yeah. And the same way, I find sound can be really good, because if you listen, if you kind of tune into what you're hearing, there's the kind of first level of sound, and then you'll hear other sounds you didn't hear, and all you're doing is just breaking the spell of thoughts. All you're doing is just kind of just being a little bit more in the moment, so whatever is bothering you doesn't, because in a way I think thoughts are a little bit like a snowball, and it just, the more speed, the more it, you know, kind of momentum it gathers, the bigger it is. And sometimes it's just good to, you know, just stop that from, to constantly break those spells, constantly
break the cycle. Kathy, you are the go-to girl when it comes to style. You're a household name. You're in all the magazines. You're all over TV. Kathy, what place do you feel fashion and style have in our well-being? Because I know I feel better if I'm wearing, if I've put thought into what I'm wearing. Like, it lifts me up.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's a really good point, because I think it's, again, it's just about, you know, the value that you put in yourself. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, for me, style is just a great way, it's a point of self-expression. It's not, you know, it's not about being judged in that way. It's just about, here are clothes that I feel so comfortable in that I'm not even thinking about what I'm wearing, because I think that's, it's great. It's a great visual way to say to the world, this is kind of who I am. And I think that they're worth their weight in gold, in the sense that if you put on something that you feel, that really you feel, God, you know, I feel really good in this, then it allows you, it allows you to be present. You know, very very often I do a lot of personal shopping, and people come to me because, you know, they've got a promotion or they've lost weight, put on weight, you know, whatever it is. But the thread for all of it, why people are propelled to come to me, is because they're going to be in a scenario where they feel judged. And so it could be that they're going to a wedding or something like a job interview. And I think that thing of feeling judged is really paralyzing. And so in a way, it's about wearing something and feeling so comfortable in what you're wearing that
you exude confidence then, don't you?
Exactly. And judgment isn't even part of it, because you're just going, I'm cool with who I am, and this says who I am in terms of my clothes. And as you say, it's just, you just feel so good when you're wearing something that you feel kind of easy in and comfortable in, kind of psychologically and also in terms of self-expression.
And it's the little things. Like, I came in here to my buddy this morning who just looks gorgeous but has multicolored nails, which I thought was a nice touch. This is Karina Cathy, and she has a gorgeous starry little scarf around her neck, and she just perks me up when I see her, because there's always something that I hadn't noticed that Karina does that cheers me up. But same with Cathy. She also has something like some fabulous silver shoes or some touch of color, or and like, you get to see all the kind of front row stuff that's going on, Kathy. What key trends are making their way back onto the high street that, you know, a myriad of shapes and sizes can kind of look to for kind of the winter? And I'm a fan of autumn and winter, actually. I think it's nice to get this lovely stuff out. Yeah.
Yeah, I think, I suppose, just because I've been looking at trends for so long, in some ways I'm kind of going, oh, trends, whatever. I think I think more than anything, the greatest thing you can have in your wardrobe is attitude.
Mm-hmm. And that soul is sister.
You know, in the sense of that kind of freedom to wear whatever you want, because the challenge with trends is that it becomes like a uniform, that there's so much of, well, we're all about tweed, we're all about patent, and so it becomes a little bit narrower. People feel, I really have to be wearing trends to be looking stylish. And of course, as we know, stylish is very different from looking fashionable, you know, in that way. But in terms of trends, I think what's great about this season is there's loads of colour. So even though black and all those colours are great and staples, there's a lot of beautiful midnight blues, a lot of fuchsia pink, cobalt blues are gorgeous, a lot of winter white. And then in terms of textures, lots of beautiful tweeds, there's patent, there's faux fur. Yeah, exactly. And there's a lot of decadence. You know, there's a lot of kind of brocade and textures, and, you know, that you might have associated with the evening time in terms of rich brocades, velvets. Those are much more daytime kind of things. So there's a lot of opulence and fabulous, fabulous things out there. And it really is. Get it, you know, just fucking wear it your own way. See, I'm cursing already.
I'm just glad you didn't encourage us to wear this season our birthday suits, because Karina came in hers this morning and everyone was a little bit put off, but she said that Cathy O'Connor had said that this is what's back in. So thanks, Cathy.
Cathy says it.
Cathy's actually just told us what styles are in, Karina, so I think you need to reach for those instead. A bit, you know, just put on some clothes, basically. Cathy O'Connor is at Cathy OC Stylist on Twitter. She's a mind of information. Everyone in the country knows who this woman is, but she's also very positive. So thank you so much for getting your bum out of bed this early and speaking to us.
Yes, thank you, Kathy. And Kathy, before you go, I think I've said this to you before, and I know I say it to Rebecca all the time. You've got the most relaxing, calming voice, and I honestly think that you should be on...
Next year.
No, not next year. Then what? She'll take our place. We're not having that.
Well, she could have another slot.
No, she should be on the sat-nav. Or Google Maps.
Oh,
could you imagine having Cathy O'Connor saying, and take your next left? No, take your next left,
no,
dear.
I crash because I think she's in the car with me. I think I was meant to ring her back. I'd be crashing. Thank you so much,
Cathy.
Daddy.
You're a doge. Thank you.
Thank you. An absolute pleasure. And when well done to you all. It is just so great, you know, the focus that you've put on this in such a real way. So you're just epic people.
And
well
put
done
your clothes
you
on, Karina.
Take them off, girl. Take them off.
Thanks, Cathy.
My pleasure. Bye,
love. Bye, bye.
Bye.
I don't worry about nothing. I am wearing a nada. I'm sitting pretty impatient, but I know you gotta put in them hours. I'ma make it harder. I'm sending pick up to picture. I'ma get you fired. I know you're always on the night shift, but I can't stand these nights alone. And I don't need no explanation, 'cause baby, you're the boss at home. You don't gotta go to work. But you gotta put in work. You don't gotta go to work. And my body do the work. We can work from home. Oh, oh, oh. We can work from home. Oh, oh, oh. Let's put it in a motion. I'ma give you a promotion. I'll make it feel like a vacay. Turn the bed into an ocean. We don't need nobody. Nothing but sheets in between us, ain't no getting off early. I know you're always on the night shift, but I can't stand these nights alone. And I don't need no explanation, 'cause baby, you're the boss at home. You don't gotta go to work. But you gotta put in work. Work. You don't gotta go to work. And my body do the work. We can work from home. Oh, oh. We can work from home. Oh, oh.
Ooh, yeah. Girl, gotta work for me. Can you make a clap? No hands for me. Take it to the ground, pick it up for me. Look back at it all, I'm for me. Put in work like my time, she ride it like a 63. I'ma buy a new Celine. Let her ride in the foreign with me. Ooh, she the bae, I'm her boo. And she down to break the rules. Ride or die, she gon' go. I'm gon' just, she finesse. I pipe up, she take that. Put in overtime on your body.
It's not dark anymore, Rebecca, but it is still raining out. If you could just stop humming for a moment.
I love these songs. These are just filling me with joy. I know that you like proper music, but I love this music.
Yes, proper 80s/90s music really is what it's really, really
miserable
all about.
Miserable music.
Guys, this is Walk In My Shoes Radio, and we are broadcasting live from St. Patrick's Mental Health Services here in Dublin 8. And it is raining outside, but there is a ray of sunshine beside us, isn't there, Rebecca?
Me. Me?
Yeah, no.
No. Okay. We have Orla Walsh, dietitian, who we were to have a minute ago, but who it was practicing kind of yoga out in the corridors of St. Patrick's Mental Health Services, so she couldn't come in. But she's finally here with us, and we're on every time because we're crazy about Orla. How are you?
Good, thanks. A little wet from cycling in, but I'm good.
We told you to take the jet. We sent it your way, but you were so, you're so, you know, all about the environment that you're like, I want to cycle. I was like, take the jet.
She's minding her footprint.
I know, she's minding that footprint. How are you?
Good, thank you.
You are a little ray of sunshine because you just got engaged recently and I'm just going to go there immediately. You got engaged to a man.
A man person.
she's yeah. got a boy. You found your lobster. She did.
I did, yeah. But you see, the thing is, I suppose for everyone else, the engagement is really, really exciting.
Yes.
For me, it's like, I suppose the first time we talked about getting engaged was that was the most wonderful moment. So to be honest, when we got engaged, I was like, deadly, a ring.
Yeah.
But we'd already made that decision. So I guess that's why I seem a bit, you know, less excited than you two.
Were you so surprised?
He'd been acting a little funny
for
the couple.
He always acts funny though.
No, but funnier than usual in the few weeks beforehand. No, I suspected something was going to happen. But I thought it would be on my favourite mountain joust. But then I was late coming back from a friend's house. So he had to scupper. He actually had, you know, his plan was to propose on Joust Mountain.
Oh.
But I was late, so then it had to be in the Ivy Gardens.
Oh, did he get down on one knee?
Yeah, but I was convinced we were going on the Viking Splash Tour. And I was like, yes, we're going on. Because he was like, bring your rain jacket. Oh. And he was like, doing all these things. And we didn't go on the Viking Splash Tour in the end. But
I'm still
hopefully we
kind
can
of
soon.
That would have been a bit kind of unromantic, though.
So
will
disturbed.
You marry me and the whole Viking Splash
yeah,
Tour
but
goes,
you wear the hat and everything.
But I'm disturbed by the fact that she was like, I was hoping to get engaged on my favorite mountain. I'd be like, bring me to the top cocktail bar in town. Have me in a back. Dress, turn around at the very moment you're, which didn't happen to me. It was some miserable beach, and I think I was doing a rant. I was ranting about my job.
It's
I remember.
A miserable beach in South Africa.
No, as in it was a miserable day, beautiful beach, beautiful man. But I was ranting about my job, and then he was like, I just want to ask you something. I was like, wrong moment. So, look, you're here with us. You're heading into a new time in your life, but you're still doing the amazing work that you always do. What is, you are the picture of health, Karina and I are always saying, but what's the first thing you do in the morning, and do you practice what you preach, or are you kind of very realistic? Like we had Katie Richardson on earlier saying it's not always easy to be so perfect about everything to do with food and mindfulness every day.
Yeah, well, I'm definitely not perfect and I'm definitely not striving to be. Sometimes I feel like, you know, perhaps I should put more chocolate and stuff on my Instagram so that people realise
yes,
that, like,
please do.
I definitely eat it and I definitely am very normal. So usually it depends what the day is, but often I exercise first thing in the morning. So I have my friend Derv that I go to Pilates with and stuff.
Why first thing in the morning? Why not in the evening?
Because it frees up the evening time to see people, because otherwise life is so busy you don't get to see friends. So I like doing my exercise first thing in the morning so that if someone goes, hey, are you around? The answer is always yes.
And I wouldn't have the energy in the
morning.
You've
got to have kids, girl. That's all going to end. All going to go belly up.
I know, yeah. But that's another thing. You're just like, well, I have to, you know, get as much friendship in yeah. the next 6 months before I start trying. Yeah.
She's going to have babies and that's going to be cute too. Okay, step away from that picture, Rebecca.
Of course
gonna
I'm
going to so
have
cute.
Children.
I can't think of
Everyone
this.
Knows I'm going to have children.
But you try and practice, like you do your fitness, but you're kind yeah. of all about balance, aren't you?
Yeah, certainly. Now, I'd always, me and Ben, we like to eat together at breakfast and at dinner. So we'd always kind of, so he cooks if I'm at Pilates or if he's at the gym, I cook or we cook together. So we have it, like we make breakfast nearly our main meal of the day and usually have dinner together then in the evening. So that's kind of how I start the day is exercise and then time.
But you're saying you make breakfast your main meal, you're saying it should be the most important and biggest because I think,
yeah.
aren't we talking about that pyramid of how we should chill out a bit
yeah.
and what, yeah.
So our intake should decrease as the day goes on, really.
Which but, people don't get.
Yeah, everyone, I'd say most of Ireland eats most of their calories after 5 p.m. You know, the thing is, often people say they're not hungry for breakfast or they're feeling a bit sick in the morning, but that's usually because they've overeaten the night before. So, you know, if you eat a small meal in the evening time, you know, when you get up in the morning, you are really hungry. So, you know, having a big breakfast isn't such a big deal.
So what would you typically eat, you and Ben?
The way you said Ben,
and Ben's breakfast.
So it depends. So I have, because this morning I was coming here, I have overnight oats in my bag there in a lunchbox. But it could be overnight oats, it could be porridge, it could be baked porridge, it could be eggs, it could be omelets, it could be, you know, loads of things,
okay.
baked eggs.
Proper so
food,
it's not a chocolate though. Croissant. Orla has an issue with bread and jam, which she's always saying, Rebecca, it's cake.
Yeah,
it's bread so and when jam you put, is not a food
yeah,
type.
When you get when you get your toast in the morning and put butter and jam, it is you are turning your bread into cake. And
well, what
it takes
time is that?
Well, it takes around an hour or two to leave your stomach, so you're starving by 10 or 11, or at least you know your blood sugar levels are dropping, so you're going for the cookie jar. So if you have a really good breakfast that's high in protein and high in fiber, you're not tempted by biscuits and things like that by 10 or 11.
Okay, it's all making sense now.
Look, Karina, forget it. She tells you this every year and you still reach for the cookie jar.
And you still look surprised, Karina.
Yeah, like,
no,
stop.
It's like, really? Stop what have I been doing
stop
wrong?
Stop faking it to make it, Karina.
But tell me this. I'm looking at Rebecca here across the table. She's due in 2 weeks, okay? And she just looks absolutely incredible. Like, she's glowing. We were talking about her hair earlier. Shame about the personality, but you can't have the whole thing, okay? But have you been giving her tips on how to stay healthy?
No, she's avoiding me. I haven't seen
she's
her.
She's answering your calls.
No, she's staying away from
just
me.
Just trying to survive.
But, no, there is lots of tips for women who are trying to get pregnant and getting pregnant. You know, I think a lot of people, like fertility doesn't come easily to a lot of people. You know, it can take 6 months, it can take a year, it can take longer for people. And nutrition does play a role there. So I'm really interested in that area of nutrition. And then, of course, one in two pregnancies aren't planned. So I'd say it's even more.
I'd be the one in two, would I? Am I the one in two?
Are you claiming to be planned?
But no, but I'm not studying McSlut bags. It just wasn't planned. Like, I married a very religious woman, but at the same time, it was a shocker to
yeah.
the system.
So most people, it isn't planned. So for that reason, I would get everyone to take folic acid all the time, but probably to take a multi-mineral, a multivitamin. Sorry, Karina, you're laughing beside me.
Why are you laughing? Why are you so surprised? It could be anybody's child, so let's face it.
You've seen her husband. Don't blame her. But the thing is that most people need to be taking multi-mineral, multivitamin, because what we're seeing now is that folic acid isn't enough. So there's, I'd say around half of Irish women are deficient and don't have adequate intakes of iodine going into pregnancy, and that affects the cognitive function of the baby and the brain development of the baby. So it's a really important one. So iodine
What do we get? Where do we get iodine?
We get iodine from dairy because it's okay. The iodine's used to clean the teeth, so a lot comes through the milk, and we also get it through fish. And in Ireland, we're really poor fish eaters.
But fish is disgusting. Can you get supplements?
Hang on. This is very interesting. We're living on an island. We have some of the best fish, I think, in Europe.
Yeah.
We have fantastic fish. I'm a big fish fan. And I think, like, there you go. And that's a personal, you know, point of view, like people feel about vegetables. You're saying I hate fish. Fish is so important. And I would say, you're right, I would say we during the week, eat a lot of meat and processed foods, and we're great for the pastas and stuff. We're not eating enough fish. Tell us, promote some fish to us so people can get into the diet, even twice a week, because we need to, Karina. Like, people aren't eating enough fish for the brain.
The biggest nutrient gap in the Irish diet is created by the lack of fish. So if everyone was to start eating fish and all different types of fish, the iodine levels in our iodine intake would increase. So iodine is needed for the production of the thyroid hormone. But it also would mean that our vitamin D intakes would increase, which we're, again, a lot of us have too low levels in our body. And finally, it's omega-3s. So there are omega-3s found in plants, but they're not the same. Mm-hmm. So the omega-3s found in plants are called ALA, while the ones in fish are EPA and DHA, and they're completely different. And they couldn't be any more important during pregnancy, but also during every other time of the year. They're considered essential fats, meaning if we don't eat them, our body can't make them. So if we don't eat them, they're not in our body, and our body's suffering because of that. So the biggest nutrient gap is created by lack of fish intake. And our average intake is around a quarter of a fish per week on average.
And that's probably tuna or something that's being put in a sandwich, let's be honest.
Or fish fingers or something like that. Mm-hmm. What I'd encourage people is shellfish once a week, whitefish once a week, and oily fish once a week.
Which you are failing
at. Like, three pieces of fish a week.
You can't be friends with my Orla because you are not a good fish eater.
I eat salmon, Orla.
Oh, do you eat salmon? Okay, good.
Well, if you eat salmon, there's plenty of other fish that I'm sure you would like if you were given a try. But one thing people know about me is I don't tolerate fussy eating. so, you know, just like it or lump it, you're getting it in your diet.
We won't do dinner. We'll do coffee.
We've seen my friend, Lynn's doesn't really eat fish, and when she comes over, I cook fish every time.
Good.
Oh, every time.
Well,
and she expects it.
I like bullying. I like a bit of bullying in the household. Karina's the kind of person who always looks amazing, and then you sit with her and you see what she eats, and it's kind of like heartbreaking because you're like, you are now into your late 50s, and I always wonder, I'm like, how does she still look so fab? Because it hits you eventually in life, and she eats such rubbish.
I'm just fabulous.
You're just fabulous. We're talking about mental health. We're here in St. Pat's for Walk In My Shoes Radio. And we're, by the way, hashtag WhimsFM if you are tweeting us with the fabulous... I'm always getting everyone's titles wrong. Dietitian Orla Walsh. But we're talking about kind of mood boosting as well and what foods give us that kind of look. You can't, we're not going to sit here and say, oh, if you eat these kind of foods, you're going to feel a whole lot better about all the issues in the world. But what helps?
So the most important thing is probably hydrating yourself. So we need around 35 milliliters for every kilogram we weigh. So that roughly kind of means that women need at least 2 liters and men at least 2.5. So that would be the first thing, because that's the first thing to affect how your brain functions and the speed of your thought and the accuracy of your thought. And then what I'd say is making sure that every meal contains protein and every meal is high in fiber. If you do that, then you're blood sugar levels are much more stable. And dips in blood sugar levels obviously affect the choices of food we make, because if blood sugar levels dip, we go for sugary stuff to bring it back up again. But also, by keeping your blood sugar levels stable, you keep your mood stable. So when blood sugar levels are high, people tend to be a bit more cross. When blood sugar levels are low, people tend to be a bit more anxious. So what I do, so if someone comes in, just say, and they have anxiety, what we do is we talk about steadying their blood sugar levels as a first point of call anyway, and hydrating them better. And when we do that, the person always comes in the next time and reports feeling a hell of a lot better. But I suppose food is everyone's best friend, but it's also the first friend that isn't called to when people get sick. So when people have mental health issues, sometimes food then can be either forgotten, so they just don't put any priority to it anymore, or else they
overload.
I eat too much or too little. So they restrict or binge when they're unhappy. So, you know, I think that food can be demonized during that journey. So with same with physical health, I'd love that when people get sick, they go, okay, well, what can I do with regards to my diet to make my recovery better and stronger?
Oh, she's just I could sit here genuinely and talk to you till 9 o'clock because you have so much great information.
It's like an internal band-aid isn't it?
Don't be talking to me about your internals. It's a bit early in the morning for that. Going forward.
It's a bit late in the day for that.
Thank you so much for coming all the way out here to see us, Orla. You can follow Orla on Twitter. She's Orla C.
Orla C. Walsh.
Orla C. Walsh. And she's always great, I think, at answering questions. But she's also, if you want to actually go to someone and kind of fix a number of things in how you're, you know, approaching your diet and what you're doing, and be it for your mental health or be it for, I think, even just, you know, perhaps changing everything about how your figure looks, or even if you want to just do it for goals or for fitness, I think Orla is kind of the person that you should go to. And thanks so much for coming into us.
Orla, thanks for having me.
And congratulations.
The soaking wet version of me.
It's beautiful. Shout out again this morning to Nathan, Adam Key and Rachel Priscilla, who are keeping the show on the road, literally, especially with the two of us who have just been in and out needing croissants and done very little. You have Karina and Rebecca here for Walk In My Shoes Radio. We are, of course, live for World Mental Health Week from St. Patrick's Mental Health Services here. It's not fabulous out, but it's fabulous inside here. We've got a lot of good energy going on this morning, a load of guests and some fabulous music. And now, Karina, to another fantastic guest.
And sitting beside us here, we have Shari McDade. And Shari is from Mental Health Reform. Good morning, Shari.
Good morning, Karina.
Thank you so much for coming in. Shari, yesterday was Budget 2018, okay? And while most of us are here counting our shekels to see how we came out financially, from a mental health aspect, how do you think it went?
Well, it was a tough day for mental health, to be honest. There was some nice announcements. It sounded good because the government announced $35 million in additional funding for mental health services for next year, but we're not sure that that really adds up because we were already short $20 million from last year. And so we have a lot of questions to ask in terms of whether this funding can actually deliver the services that are needed across the country. Particularly, we know it came out just last week that the HSE needed 65 million euro just to keep their existing commitments on mental health services next year. And just
so that's
to cope.
Some shortfall there.
So it's some shortfall. And we're very, very concerned. And we think that, you know, we may need to let our politicians know that we really do think mental health should be a priority.
I think you're right about letting our politicians know. I think at this stage, it is an actual emergency. It is critical and vital that these, you know, mental health is given a massive boost, because if any of us had an emergency, a kind of an injury, and we, you know, we were in hospital and we needed to be treated, we would be, and probably with great urgency, you would hope. But if we have something wrong with our mind or our mental health, not such a priority. And I hate saying that, and I don't want to be cynical about it, because I know some great work has been done here all the time, and that's fantastic. But for the thousands of people suffering in silence who really need kind of urgent care, how are we faring?
Well, I think this is the big concern, is that we all know that, for instance, for people who are really in a severe crisis, that at the moment they often have to go to A&E and wait for hours before they get to see a mental health professional. And
not falling out of your chair, vomiting, or a limb hanging off, you won't be seen to.
Well, it's frustrating for people, for family members, and for the individuals concerned in that situation. They don't feel necessarily comfortable waiting in a busy A&E. It's not where you want to be when you're really, really struggling with your mental health. And we know that what is better is at a minimum that if there are 7-day-a-week services across the country. And at the moment, we think that there are 40% of the country doesn't have 7-day-a-week services. Now, that should be considered an essential service, not an optional. It was in the mental health policy going back to 2006 that every community mental health team would have an arrangement on 24/7 provision. It hasn't happened. We're 11, almost 12 years beyond that policy. And it shouldn't be considered an optional. It should be considered absolutely what is the minimum for what people, for the provision of our mental health services and for meeting people's needs for mental health services.
What do you think the obstacles are, Shari? What's stopping it?
Well, I do think it's a competitive environment for funding. We know that. And, you know, for so many years, people didn't speak up about mental health. For so many years, people kind of...
It was a taboo in this country. I mean, let's be honest about it. As Irish people, we're always like, we're grand. And now people, it's coming out.
People hesitated to say that they struggled with their mental health. And they also hesitated to be named as someone that was speaking up for better mental health services because of the stigma. But now more and more people are speaking up. I actually think the politicians are lagging behind where the general public is. I think the general public does care and does want to see better mental health supports. And
because I think we're all affected. I think the general public will have a niece or a nephew or a cousin or a sister or a brother or mother who has been affected. And the politicians might, but they're not recognizing that and they're not discussing that. So we have this kind of strange dynamic where they're here and we're here and we're ready to talk and they're not ready to listen.
That's right. And ironically enough, the talk that has been going on, which is really positive, is making more people seek help, which is exactly what we want. But the help has to be there then. The support has to be there. You know, even when we look at other parts of the mental health service, like, say, counseling for people who have a mild or moderate difficulty, and we figure there are about 350,000 people in the country at any one time who are struggling a little bit with their mental health and would need some quick help in that way. But the public service only provides 11,000 people with help every year. So there's huge gaps there. And they're hurting everybody. They hurt, you know, employers when people can't manage to get to work. They hurt students and they can't manage to do their studies because they're struggling with their mental health. And the long-term costs are much greater than if we invested now.
But we always wait till it's too late. I mean, we have an epidemic with obesity at the moment, so we have the sugar tax yesterday. And we're trying to address that. We've that problem with children. We have a problem with suicide in this country. It's this awful thing that nobody speaks about, but in every single town in this country, people are affected by that. If Taoiseach Leo Varadkar is listening this morning, if you are not, shame on you. What model, what country has a model for mental health that you think he can look to or that we can look to? And let's all get out there on the streets and protest or discuss this as a country, because I think it is just so disgraceful that it's not being dealt with in the right way. Where would you look to, Sherry?
Well, we can look to our nearest neighbour, the UK.
Okay.
And we can see that, for instance, in the mental health budget in England is more than twice the budget that we have here in Ireland. We only put 6% of our health budget into mental health and they put 13%. So, you know, and they have better services. They have crisis intervention services around the country.
They have 7 days, 24/7.
They have much more 7 day services, and they have much better early intervention services, much bigger counseling, access to counseling for free for people. So those are, it makes a difference. Mm-hmm. It really does make a difference in the experience of people's mental health care and how easily they can access support. We're not talking about bells and whistles stuff here. We're not talking about looking for the Rolls Royce model. We're talking about the basic supports that would help people to recover their mental health, just like we expect people to have available to recover from their physical health.
Well, Sherry McDade, we need more people like you in this country. From mental health reform, you are absolutely fantastic and a beacon of light, and you're talking sense.
And just to say that while we're a coalition, we have 15,000 people connected to us as individuals who get up and keep connected and can be active. So anyone out there can connect to us on Facebook, on Twitter, on our newsletter list, and you'll be part of hearing about when it's time to take action.
Great. Thank you so much for coming in. You're an absolute star, and keep it going. We've got to keep this going.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you so much.
That's from Mental Health Reform. You're so good for coming in. Thanks, Ben. Ireland's only pop-up radio station is back.
I didn't give birth.
Thank goodness.
Make sure
well,
you knew
we
that.
Have 10 minutes left on okay. our show this morning, Rebecca. So don't do it in those 10 minutes.
I'll try not.
Please,
I'll
not my her, watch,
I'll keep
sister.
Her, keep her cooking still. What were you saying? You were saying something really important.
I was
there.
Actually saying something very important. I was going to say that this is Walk in My Shoes Radio, mm-hmm. promoting positive mental health. And you can also find us on walkinmyshoes.ie.
Sing it, sister. And we've been here. Well, we haven't been here because they wouldn't let us in any other day. But we have been, the shows have been going on every single day and they will continue till to Friday for World Mental Health Week. Some excellent work, some excellent guests. And one of the best guests of all time now. We've got John Belton, personal trainer.
We need
trainer.
A drum roll here.
We need something really fancy, but we don't have it. So it's just me. Number 17, personal training. I'm big, big fan of John's because I think he does a lot of fantastic work where it's not just all about like fitness. Let's get in there and lose loads of weight and get our bodies body beautiful. He's also about like connecting that to the mind and where you're at. Mm-hmm. And I reached out to John purely by accident. And I think it's always the way with things in life where I'd always done my own fitness regimes and was always very capable of doing things independently, but reached a bit of a point where I needed to kind of go and seek some help to get motivated again. And I thought it was really all about getting in shape. And actually, I realized when I went into him, I cried nearly every day. And John was probably just like, I can't. Will she pay the fee and go home?
Weird.
So every day I'd go in and he was great. He was like, you've got adrenal stress, you've got all this. And I was in a really black place with work. Like I was really, really stressed. And he saved my bacon.
Mm. I remember that change in you, though. I remember you telling me about going to see John.
I didn't get a sex change. I never did that. I don't think I did.
Are you sure, Are Rebecca? You sure Let's go back to the beginning.
So, John, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, guys.
No, we're delighted. Mm. And you do a lot of that kind of work where you don't work with just the body. Talk to us about that.
Well, so I've been in the industry for 14 years. And obviously, like everyone else that started out, I wanted people to get in better shape, see their abs, mm-hmm. be really happy, look great on the beach. The more I got into the industry, the more I saw that just wasn't enough. There's, mm-hmm. you know, I start looking at the cause. Why are people coming into me in a distressed state? Why do people get so out of shape and why do they let that happen? Mm-hmm. So yes, instead of knocking my head against the wall and constantly beating people up about their training and stuff like that, we look at the bigger picture. Because storing body fat, we'll use it as an example, is just another symptom of a problem, mm-hmm. okay? So the problem is stress, in my view, and this is what I've came down to from looking at different angles. Stress comes in and impacts us in many different ways, but the accumulative stress is what causes storing body fat. It causes all sorts of digestive issues, and in turn tends to lead to other symptoms like mental health issues and gut issues, joint issues, all that type of thing. So we have to look holistically. We have to look at bigger picture stuff before we go beating up the body and trying to batter it into shape. We need to look at why it's out of shape.
But also things are breaking down mentally, things start to break down physically. So, you know, you think, you know, you're just a bit stressed, but actually you just need to go to do some exercise. You're right, you kind of have to deal with everything separately,
don't you?
Of
course.
Do you find that people kind of, are they willing to accept that, that they have to treat it all holistically and it's basically like a big package, or do you find them just kind of going, no, I just want to lose weight?
Fix one thing, let's go, let's just fix it. Yeah.
I think everyone wants, like, you know, the quick fix. Mm. They want to put the plaster on, they want the magic pill. Mm-hmm. You know, and like with mental health stuff, there's not a one little remedy that works or a prescription for everybody. And it's a case of finding out what each individual needs. So yes, everyone comes in and they're like, once I get in better shape, I'll feel great again. Yeah. And of course, exercising will improve how you feel
all the endorphins,
etc. And looking better in your bikini obviously is a big part of it.
Yeah.
It helps. But if you're not evaluating where you are and looking at your current story that you're telling yourself on a daily basis and the stresses you're exposing yourself mm-hmm. to, you will still be in that bad, negative story position when you get into that bikini and you feel, you know, you're maybe ticking all the boxes aesthetically, mm-hmm. but mentally, if you're not there, if you haven't addressed the underlying causes, you're still going to end up lost mm-hmm. and inevitably start putting back on the weight mm-hmm. again and getting stressed out
about
that.
Well, it's a vicious cycle. It's kind of like...
It can be, yes.
It's like that whole lifestyle. I know this sounds so cheesy, and I mean, I'm not some fitness freak. Like, I think exercise is huge. Important, but there is that whole it's a lifestyle. It's not just like, I'm going to go to you, John, I'm going to pay for seven. You know, I was a bit like that. I'm going to pay for seven sessions. I know that my body will get back into shape. You're going to help me, and then I'm going to go be on about my business.
Of course.
And I remember seeing John, and I mean, it wasn't even a financial thing, but I was like, I know this is going to be very short term. And then realizing there was so much stuff that had to be uncovered. And I mean, everyone has mental health problems to different degrees. Mine wasn't so severe that perhaps I had to seek help like people can here, which in St. Pat's, which is fantastic. Mm. Mine was more that I needed to get through whatever speed bumps I was going through. And that's where John excels because he knows it's not all about, Rebecca, you want to lose weight. There's something else happening here.
which I think is excellent.
It starts you on a journey nearly that you know you weren't expecting.
Yeah.
Of course.
Are we getting healthier as a country?
I think the divide is increasing. So we're getting people who are extremely healthy, extremely fit, and we're getting people who are just really going out of shape.
Like America, kind of this obesity. Yeah,
we're getting bigger extremes. Now, I just want to also say that, like that, you know, we're getting fitter, we're getting leaner, our Instagram pictures are improving, everyone's looking leaner, but that doesn't mean we're getting healthier. Health, people associate, you know, really elite athletes, fit people as being healthy, and ticking all the boxes for healthy means, you know, that you're in shape, your bloods are healthy,
your
but
BMI,
your attitude and your mental strength, mental health is where it needs to be as well. And, you know, that's the base of the pyramid, addressing your emotional intelligence, your self-awareness, getting your mental health intact is a key, because then you'll love yourself, even if you put on a few little pounds. You got to love the body you have, no matter what shape it's in, and you got to mind it, because if you're going to just keep beating it up, it's going to break down. But, you know, that's where we see that anxiety just start to heighten and people can go into dark places. They're beating their body up. They don't realize it. Society is pushing us down that road of work harder, drink more coffee, everything's, you know, high-speed Wi-Fi, high-speed everything, you know, instant gratification. And no one's stopping to smell the roses, appreciate what they've achieved. And then eventually these symptoms, this burnout starts to really kick in. And, you know, I think one of the biggest things that people need to do to address it is start looking after their sleep. If you start noticing broken sleep, then you're pushing yourself down that rabbit hole where you go, you know what, I need to take a step back here. I need to wind myself down, get rid of the phone, out of the room, etc. And get your sleep on point. Water's
and
very
you were
important.
Saying hydration always to me as well. It's like,
always.
Are you sleeping? Is your phone on at night? Are you drinking enough water? That's interesting, because Orla just
boxes.
Said the same thing.
It's so easy, but like if you're not sleeping, nothing good happens. Think about kids, if they don't get to sleep and if they're not eating dry things, they get cranky and ratty. So,
like Karina. That wasn't even funny. That was just the truth.
But John, like, what tips would you have for people then who cannot sleep? My husband is a horrendous sleeper. Like, he really, really needs to sleep, and he's just lying awake there at night.
Is that stress? So he works a lot, doesn't he? Work
stress
late?
With me, maybe.
Yeah,
possibly.
Married to you is amazing.
Well, you know, there's I've run my own business, and I've, you know, I know what stress feels like, and I know what heightened anxiety feels like, and you know. You will have sleepless nights, and I'm not for a second saying I live a perfect life, healthy life, that I, you know, have perfect sleep all the time. But getting to bed at the right time, ensuring you get it, you know, enough sleep, that's where you want to be. Resting your body, winding down is important. Simple little sleep hygiene things you can do is have blackout blinds in your room, get the phone, TV, iPad all out of the room or on airplane mode, you know, if you need it for your alarm. Make sure your bed is comfy, make sure your room is tidy, and practice some form of wind down at night. If you're looking at the news and it's all negative stuff coming at you, you're lying in bed at night worrying about what's happening with Trump, all that type of stuff. So wind down properly, get the negative stress out of the way, and do some meditation before bed.
But you need social media for your business, obviously, because you're running your own show there, so obviously to promote it you use social media. I obviously use it for my job. I quite love that about you. You're not this major fan, you're not a self-promoter, you're not putting rubbish out there. You were speaking about the Instagram, the perfect selfie, the abs, the girls have the lips done, the boobs, everything's so perfect, and in fact inside they're just miserable. Is, like you're saying, at night, throw it away. Like, I'm great at, like, oh, I better get another tweet, or I've got to get back. Is that also what's not conducive to great sleep, the old social media addiction we have?
Yes. Yeah. First of all, I need social media for my business. Or so social media tells me.
Yeah.
We're all being sold this, yes, we need social media. We need a profile that says X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. And I never see a difference. If I post more stuff, I don't see more clients come in. Yeah, more people
so
like
funny,
it.
So funny, isn't it? Yeah.
I still go down, I still fall into that trap and going, God, only X amount of people like that. Or why did that not get interest?
I constantly
have to keep checking myself on that one. But yes, social media can cause a lot of, you know, these insecurities. We see these beautiful people who, you know, it's like the analogy of the beautiful swan that you see on top of the water, but underneath the water, the legs are kicking like hell just to try and survive. So it's important that we realize that, you know, feeling a little bit insecure about yourself and having all this sort of, you know, mental health issues perhaps, or just heightened anxiety, it's part of being a human being. So it's a human condition, and accepting that it can be a big part of the kind of recovery process if you do have any anxieties and depressions and stuff like that.
Where can we reach you, even just to look at you? Like, even if they just want to go in
social media
and watch you work. Besides social media,
where
can they reach you, like, to go in and watch you work out?
Watch me work out? Okay, well,
That's a little bit creepy.
So you can come to my, I have a new facility on Upper Hatch Street.
Which,
yeah, it's vault number 10. So it's still number 17 personal training. Upper Hatchery, just Park Place. So you can give me an email, drop in at any stage. I love sitting down and chatting to people about
stuff. Which I love about you, you come in for the chats first. It's not a like, here, Rebecca, leave €300 on the desk, and you have the big chats first, you go through everything, and then he gets into it.
Yeah. And the whole thing is, we don't have a package. People want a one-size-fits-all package, and that's not it. So it's not great from a sales point of view, because everyone wants me to email it straight back. Come in and talk to me, and I'll tell you what I feel you need, and if it works, then we'll start training.
And there's no helping Karina Shutherson. Thank you so much,
John.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thanks,
and John
guys.
Belton
Thanks,
from
John.
Number 17 Personal Training. Thank you.
When the summer deal, I've felt pressure. Don't wanna see the numbers, I wanna see heaven. You say, could you write a song for me? I say, I'm sorry about you that I believe. When I go home, I tend to close the door. I never want to know.